Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's hard to imagine the Star Trek universe without Klingons. I mean, they're warriors who are driven by personal honor and loyalty to the Empire, but they're also passionate artists and creators making some interesting poetry and, well, unlistenable operas. But their relationship with the Federation has been one of the most defining qualities of Star Trek since it began. After a botched first contact meeting, the Klingons and the Federation ended up as enemies for many years. This played throughout the original series as well as the prequel series Enterprise, and by the time The Next Generation rolled around, there was a tenuous peace between the Klingons and the Federation, leading to the first Klingons to serve in Starfleet. Episodes focusing on Klingon politics and culture continued throughout TNG, Deep Space Nine, and had sprinklings in Voyager, and of course Discovery kicked off by shaving those bad boys down for war purposes. But let's not get into that in today's list. Let's get into this list. I am Marcus Bronzy, and here are 10 Klingon episodes that stand out above the rest. Number 10, Enterprise, Affliction and Divergence. Whilst Enterprise does have its fans, it's certainly not a favourite for many Star Trek watchers. Anyway, they managed to pull together a pretty tidy retcon to take care of the whole Klingon forehead ridge debacle. In the original series, Klingons had flat, ridgeless foreheads. By the time the movie started, we definitely had ridges, and that look persisted for the next few series. This issue was also touched upon in Deep Space Nine episode Trials and Tribulations, when the crew come across some smooth forehead Klingons from the original series. Worf alludes here that Klingons just don't discuss what happened here outside of their race, but Dr. Bashir guessed that it might be a viral mutation. Interesting. Back to Enterprise, which was set before the original series and the Klingons had ridges. In the two-part story that played out across Affliction and Divergence, the reason for this change were explained as a virus. Good guess, Bashir, that impacted many Klingons, removing their ridges. The virus was stopped with the assistance of Dr. Phlox, who prevented it from impacting all Klingons. Over the generations, the impact of the virus lessened and eventually disappeared entirely. It was a strong attempt to tie up a huge plot hole that had been plaguing the Star Trek universe for years, one fans wanted an answer to. I mean, they really did try. Number 9, Deep Space Nine, The House of Quark. When a Klingon episode features Ferengi, it's bound to be something special. And that was certainly the case with The House of Quark. DS9's resident bartender, businessman, and criminal has been known to get himself into a lot of trouble over the years. And when a drunk Klingon killed himself in Quark's bar, the Ferengi took advantage of the situation, as he does, and lied about what happened to drum up extra business on DS9. This led to Quark getting drawn into a fight between two Klingon houses after being forcibly married to Grilka, the widow of the man he lied about killing in the first place. Quark used his Ferengi acumen to prove his enemy's duplicitous tactics and help her house come out on top. On the surface, Klingons and Ferengi have very little in common, but what this episode successfully did was build a bit more understanding and somewhat a mutual respect between them. Number 8, Deep Space Nine, you are cordially invited. Klingons love their traditions, well, some Klingons at least. Worf was certainly one of them, which absolutely drove Jadzia nuts, as she might as well have been the least traditional individual in the galaxy. And he chose to marry her, and she chose to marry him. So as much as she loved him, it got even worse as their wedding approached, since it was about as traditional as a Klingon wedding could be. You, a cordially invited, gave fans an incredible and unique view into Klingon culture, as it was very rare to see such a traditional wedding even take place. Worf took Sisko, Bashir and O'Brien, his son Alexander and Martok, who were the equivalent of his groomsmen, through an intense process over several days in a holodeck. Jadzia, on the other hand, well, she had to complete a series of trials to impress Martok's wife, as she was essentially going to become Jadzia's mother-in-law. And you know what they say about the in-laws? Yeah, man. Well, ultimately, the wedding took place and Worf and Jadzia became husband and wife. It was an amusing and also light-hearted episode that showed the romantic side of Klingon life.
Gah.
Number 7, Voyager, Barge of the Dead. Most, if not all, species in Star Trek have their own mythology surrounding what happens after you die. The Ferengi essentially believe in a form of reincarnation, though you have to make sure that you've paid all of your debts before you die, because otherwise you will not be able to buy a new life. Unsurprisingly, Klingons believe in something much more violent. The Honored Dead, well, they end up in Stovakor, a place of eternal food, drink, and of course, combat. The Dishonored Dead, well, they end up in Greethor, a much less happier place. B'Elanna Torres, a member of the Maquis who then joined the Voyager after being transported into the Delta Quadrant, had always struggled with her heritage. She was a half-human, half-Klingon, and she kind of rejected her Klingon side and favoured her qualities. But in an iron storm in the Delta Quadrant, she's forced to rethink the issue. In a coma, she found the spirit of her mother on a barge to Greethor, presumably due to the dishonour B'Elanna brought on her family by ignoring her Klingon heritage. B'Elanna eventually proved herself and secured her mother's entrance to Stovakor. And it may have been a coma dream or a hallucination, but it was all too real for B'Elanna. The Barge of the Dead showed the importance of Klingon mythology to the warrior race, making it seem really real. And even someone like B'Elanna Torres, who had long ignored mythology, had moved and driven herself into it by this experience. Number 6, The Next Generation, Redemption 1 and 2. A two-part episode, Redemption was a key turning point in the history of the Klingon Empire and Worf's place in it. On the verge of being confirmed as the Chancellor of the Empire, Garon struggled to find support among his peers. Lursa and Beta, the sisters of the late Duras, well, they were challenging Garon for his position. As women, they could not become Chancellor, but they brought T'Rell, a young man claiming to be the son of Duras. As the male leader of the House of Duras, he had the claim to the position of Chancellor. Now, with a civil war on the horizon, Worf and Kern, who had just revealed his true heritage, offered Garon ships and troops in exchange for the return of their family's honour. Unbeknownst to them, the Duras sisters had forged a secret alliance with the Romulans. Well, that's a different story, but let's get back to this one. Whilst the Federation could not directly get involved with the Klingon civil war, they could try and stop the Romulans from funneling aid to the House of Duras. The Federation task force was successful in cutting off the supply train, leaving Lursa and Beetor to defend for themselves. The House of Duras fell, leaving Garon unchallenged and in control of the Klingon Empire. Once again, Worf changed the whole direction of the Empire, crippling the nefarious Duras family. And that being said, he should have also killed T'Rell, as he showed up as an adult to torment Worf on Deep Space Nine. But hey, hindsight's a son of a... Number 5. The Next Generation, Sins of the Father. Worf's time in the Star Trek universe has been plagued by his conflict with his own people. This, in no small part, is due to the fact that he was raised by humans and became a member of Starfleet. But other issues go much further back than that. Kern, the brother of Worf, never knew he had arrived on the Enterprise to speak with him about their late father, Mok. The day he died, the colony Mok lived on with Worf was massacred by Romulans. A young Worf was one of the very small group of survivors, which is where his human father found him. Kern only survived because he was on Kronos with a friend of the family. Duras, the son of another Klingon who died on Kitima, was posthumously accusing Mok of helping Romulans in their attack. Now, Worf challenged this claim, eventually discovering that it was the father of Duras who aided the Romulans. The Klingon High Council was trying to shift the blame to protect the powerful house led by Duras. And to protect the Empire, Worf actually accepted the charges and everything that came with them, including essentially being fired from being a Klingon, which is one of the most dishonorable things ever. Up until this point, Klingons have been depicted as honorable warriors who did not debase themselves with duplicitous political moves. But this episode was the first time that we saw the Klingons had been shown to have some of the same flaws that every other species has. And it also showed that Worf was more Klingon than some of the Klingons that were born and raised on Kronos themselves. Number 4, Deep Space Nine, Blood Oath. For Klingons, a Blood Oath is serious business. Once you pledge yourself to a Blood Oath, nothing can get in the way of it. It's a matter of pure honor, and Jadzia Dax ran into that when a group of old friends showed up on Deep Space Nine. Now, Trills, they're not bound to the debts of their previous lives. If they were, well, they'll be paying for old debts for eternity. Some symbiotes have multiple hosts as well, so Dax's host before Jadzia was Curzon, a Federation ambassador to Kronos. He became highly respected in the Klingon society, a status level that Jadzia inherited to an extent. Curzon had a blood oath with three Klingons, Kor, Koloth, and Kang, to avenge the murder of their sons at the hands of a criminal known as the Albino. Well, Jadzia, holding up the blood oath, said, "Fuck it, let's get the band back together. I'm in." The brilliance of this episode was that it demonstrated the importance of the Blood Oath in Klingon culture and to the aliens that adopted into it. From a storytelling perspective, even better, the episode also connected DS9 back to the original series, with Kor, Koloth, and Kang all being characters from the original Star Trek. Number 3, Deep Space Nine, Soldiers of the Empire. Most Star Trek series have been defined by science and exploration. Deep Space Nine did have those elements, but it was primarily defined by the Dominion War. When Klingons came to deal with a rumored Dominion invasion of the Cardassian Empire, a new character named General Martok was introduced. He stood beside Chancellor Gowron, who migrated to DS9 from the Next Generation. Martok was the leader of the Klingon forces invading Cardassia. He was also a changeling infiltrator. Yeah, that's right, those changelings, those pesky old changelings. It was eventually discovered that Martok was a Dominion shapeshifter who was manipulating Gowron and the whole Klingon Empire. The real Martok was rescued from a Dominion prison and returned to combat. However, when he was given a bird of prey called the Retaran, a ship with low morale and a few victories, the new captain didn't really help the situation at first because Martok's time as a prisoner of war had left scars on him. He was nervous and wanted to avoid combat, and these are not Klingon qualities. In fact, they are the complete converse. But with the help of Worf, again, and Jadzia, Martok overcame his issues and became the Klingon warrior he was meant to be, bringing true honor to the Retaran. This episode showed a more vulnerable side of Klingons, specifically the impact being honorless has on their psyche. In its own way, Soldiers of the Empire even demonstrated the darker side of war, as Martok was a prisoner of war suffering from PTSD. Number 2, The Next Generation, Reunion. Worf's journey in Star Trek through both The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine has had a profound impact on the Klingon Empire. This was one episode of TNG where a lot happened, much of it changing the course of the Klingon civilization. The Chancellor of the Klingon Empire and the acquaintance of both Picard and Worf was dying. He asked Picard to be his arbiter of succession, meaning he would help choose his successor for him. The choice was between Gowron, a relatively unknown at the time with the craziest eyes in Starfleet, and Duras, an old enemy of Worf's. The inner workings of how the new leader of the Klingon Empire was selected was intriguing. The mix of politics and combat on a very overt level was surprising, even for Klingons, as was the lack of input anyone else had on the decision. It was a very insular moment, with it happening out in space and so far away from the Empire, but having such a big impact on it. Number 1, The Next Generation, A Matter of Honor. I love this episode. Now, being an exchange student is a lot of fun. You can go to another country, eat the food, drink the wine if you're old enough, see the sights, and they can send someone over to you so you can do the same. But if you get traded onto a Klingon ship, it's a very different kind of exchange program, and that's exactly what happened to Riker. At the suggestion of Picard, the bearded Riker, aka the better Riker, jumped on board to become an exchange student style first officer. And when the second officer challenged Riker, he observed Klingon tradition and defeated him in combat to prove he was worthy of position. He really, really tried to fit in there. I mean, Riker even doubled down on dining with the crew and enjoying some delicious gach, which he had been trying on the Enterprise and didn't realize that the real Klingon version was basically these worms live. Yeah, he had to eat live worms, basically. Anyway, things got difficult when the current captain of the Klingon Pach misinterpreted a scan from the Enterprise as an attack of some kind and were ready to go to war with Picardi's old Enterprise. Now, in reality, the Enterprise was scanning a strange growth on the Klingon's hull. So Riker took control of the ship and prevented a disaster. And he did this using all of the appropriate Klingon rules and regulations. Okay, he might have tricked the captain a little bit by giving him a transporter, which got him over to the Enterprise, which meant he could take take over. However, it wasn't the most dishonorable thing one could have done. And it also was very interesting because putting Riker on a Klingon ship from a story perspective was a stroke of genius. It allowed viewers to get one of their first full views on the crew's workings and inner workings in general of a Klingon ship. What life was like for them and how the whole hierarchy thing works. We even see Klingons laughing and having fun, something that you don't see much of in TNG before then.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.